Dewey McKenzie, better known by the moniker Mac, spun away from the bar to avoid a body flying through the air. Hastily knocking back what remained of a shot of whiskey, he slammed the glass onto the bar and reached for the Smith & Wesson Model 3 he carried thrust into his belt. The bartender gripped his shoulder with painful intensity.
Don't go pulling that smoke wagon, boy. You do and things will get rough.
Mac wondered why in the hell he had ever come to Fort Worth, but only for a moment. He'd come to pay tribute to a friend who had died, a man named Patrick Flagg. Mac shook off the bartender's powerful hand. Suddenly, the man who had sailed past him and smashed into the wall of bottles behind the bar came to his feet. A bullet came from behind Mac and shot past his head. It barely missed the man.
Damn!
He ducked back down.
Now that does it!
Mac drew his gun and spun around to confront the man who had nearly taken his ear off. Deep, sunken eyes gazed back at him. The hombre was gaunt, bow-legged from years in the saddle, and stood at least an inch taller than Mac. He had his pistol pointed straight at him. Despite that, Mac holstered his S&W.
What mess have you gotten yourself into now, Rattler?
Hey! As I live and breathe! Howdy, Mac! I never thought our paths would cross again after Abilene.
The man named Rattler holstered his pistol as well.
You son of a bitch!
Mac turned to see Rattler's would-be target leap onto the bar, and with the intention of tackling his adversary, push off, shooting through the air once more. Mac and Rattler both took one step to the right, and the man flew right past him and landed on a table, smashing it. He hit the floor out cold.
Come on, Rattler, let's find somewhere else to do some drinking. Your friend's bound to come to sooner or later.
Mac grabbed the front of the wiry man's vest and pulled him along into the street. Mayhem filled the night in Hell's Half Acre, as it was called. Mayhem always filled the night in Hell's Half Acre. In either direction along Calhoun Street, saloons were in full swing. Mac brushed off his threadbare clothes, spending some of his pay that he had earned on his first cattle drive to buy a new coat made sense. He whipped off his black, broad-brimmed hat and smacked it a couple of times against his leg. Dust clouds rose. He wiped tears from his cat-green eyes and knew he had to get away from the dust and filth of his city. It was dangerous on the trail, tending a herd of cattle, but at least it was cleaner and wide-open prairie. He knew better than to ask Rattler what the fight had been over. Likely, it had started for no other reason than to blow off steam.
I thought you were gonna find a gunsmith and get some work there. You're a better tinkerer than most of them in this town.
Mac touched the Model 3 in his belt. Rattler had worked on it from Waco to Abilene during the drive and had turned his pappy's old sidearm into a deadly weapon that shot straight and true.
But I thought you was headed back to New Orleans to woo that filly of yours. What was her name, Evie?
Evangeline.
Yeah! You went on and on, you even calling her name in your sleep. With enough money, you should have been able to win her over.
Mac knew better. He loved Evangeline Holdstock, and she had loved him until Pierre LeClaire had set his cap for her. LeClaire's plans, including taking over Evie's father's bank after marrying her, probably inheriting it when he murdered Micah Holdstock. Being framed for Micah's murder had been enough to convince Mac to leave New Orleans. Worse, the frame had also convinced Evie to have nothing to do with him. His only hope of ever winning her back was to prove LeClaire had murdered Holdstock. Somehow, his determination to do that had faded after LeClaire had sent killers after him in Waco. If he hadn't been dodging him, he never would have signed on with the Rollin' J crew and found he had a knack for cooking and cattle herding. Unfortunately, Evie was lost forever to him, and returning to New Orleans meant his death, either from LeClaire's killers or at the end of a hangman's rope.
Well, there's other fish in the sea, that's what they say.
Rattler braced himself against a hitching post.
So, which watering hole appeals to you?
That don't matter much. That one right over there across the street is close enough that I don't have to stagger too much to get into it.
Rattler put his arm around Mac's shoulders for support, turned on unsteady feet, and took a step. He stopped short and looked up to a tall, dark man dressed in black.
Excuse us, mister. We got some mighty hard drinking to do, and you're blocking the way.
Dewey McKenzie.
Yep, he's my friend. You know him too?
Rattler pulled away from Mac and accidentally stumbled in front of him. When he did, he got in the way of the dark man's shots. Mac had never seen a man move faster. The peacemaker had cleared leather so swiftly, the move was a blur. Fanning the hammer had sent three slugs ripping out in a deadly rain that tore into Rattler's body. There was a look of surprise on his face as he collapsed backward into Mac's arms, dead.
Damn it.
The gunman stepped to the side to get a better shot at Mac. Mac realized he had to move or die. He heaved his dead friend up and tossed him into the shooter. The corpse knocked the gunman's aim off, so the fourth bullet tore down Calhoun Street. Mac pulled his Smith & Wesson free from his belt. The gunman caught the bullet smack in the middle of his chest. He looked down. His eyes came up and locked with Mac's. He used both hands to raise his six gun. The barrel wobbled back and forth.
Why'd you kill Rattler?
Mac's gun sights were lined on the shooter's heart. He never got an answer.